So I've been studying the Bible. Last night I've been studying the Bible with a friend of mine. His name is Tyler. And you all have seen Tyler. He was with us up at Northview. He was doing the filming. So I've known Tyler for about 3 years. And we randomly ran into each other at Publix a few months ago. I hadn't seen him in about 3 years. And we just started talking, and he was saying how he was interested in working on his relationship with God. And I said, well, let's study the Bible. So, you know, whenever someone says they're interested in working on their relationship with God, I immediately say, let's study the Bible. And Tyler's 21. If you know anything about the mindset of 20-year-olds, and I think just people in general, there's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of, how can you trust the Bible? How can we really understand the Bible? And these days, everyone has become a scholar because of YouTube. So you used to have to go and study, but now you just find something on YouTube, and any topic you want to learn about, it's on YouTube. And you have all these YouTube scholars now, and you have Facebook philosophers, and everybody is talking about the deep intricacies of life. So we're at an interesting place in our society because popular opinion is overruling scholarly study. And we feel more justified than ever before that if I think it's right or if I believe it's right, then it's right. And don't let me get some likes on it, get other people to agree with it, because then it's really right. Which reminds me, we are on Facebook Live, and Angel would be texting me, say, got to tell everybody to take out their phones and share this. And I would like for you to take out your phones and share this, because what I want to do today with our ministry is to help us to understand how we can best minister to the world and culture we live in today. The landscape, the ideology, the mentality of people has changed so much within the last decade. And many of us who are Christians, sometimes we encounter situations that we start to struggle with, you know, how can I get the message out? Will people listen? Do people want this? And we try to rationalize in situations, and sometimes we can feel inadequate. So what I want to do is just give you some ways that I have been reaching out to people, studying the Bible with guys, trying to help minister to them. Let's open up in a word of prayer. And I will ask you to please put on your prayer list Tyler, because he texted me last night. He was in a car accident. So he texted me from the hospital today. He says, I'm here in the emergency room. You know, he was in an accident. And my thing is this, life is too short. Life is too short. Life is too unpredictable. Let's pray. Father and God, we come before you right now, and God, most of all, we want to be people who understand how we can best serve you. God, we want to be men and women who want to make a difference in this world. This world is so lost. And yet, God, we know it's lost, but it's so easy for us as Christians to be confused. It's so easy for us who are searching after you, God, to get distracted. I pray, God, most of all, that our hearts will focus, that our minds will focus, dear God. We will learn to depend on you in ways we don't know how, God, in ways that we never had to depend on you, God. I pray we will be humble, trust your word, trust your leadership, and trust your wisdom. God, I pray for our friend Tyler, that you will be with him, dear God. I pray there are no complications from his accident. And I pray, God, for his heart. And, you know, as he's seeking you and others who are seeking you, God. We love you, Father, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. My first question is, do we still need God? Do we still need God? We live in a world, a society that I think the challenge with understanding a relationship with God is, first of all, seeing our need for God. Because if you don't see the need, why even search? You don't see the need, then you can be skeptical and have so many doubts. So that's, you know, do we need God? You know, you can put up my next slide. As we go back and look at every single culture that has ever existed, man always wanted to understand God or the gods or the supernatural. There has been something ingrained in us for centuries about where do we fit in? What happens when we die? When man was able to write, going all the way back to ancient Sumer, a part of his writing was about the afterlife. You heard of the Tower of Babel? That's where it came from, that area, Sumer. So that is real, the Tower of Babel. And they built these towers because it was for spiritual reasons. So as we look at the history of man, the culture of man, everybody has gods. Now, today, do we have gods? What are some of our gods in America? Money. iPhone. Okay, interesting. You know, and really, gods are idols of whatever we devote ourselves to. It can be a job. Whatever will take the priority where we will change around everything in our lives to fulfill this. And you know, the greatest challenge in the Western world, you know what the number one God is, in my opinion? Self. Self. I mean, what do we really need for God? You know, we got jobs. We can buy what we want. Do we need God for food? We go to Publix. We go to Kroger. We can order food online. They drop it off to our house. Why do we need God? You know, we got all this information now. We don't feel right. We go online, Google MD, and find the symptoms. And now we're even coming up with the cures for ourselves because the doctors don't know what they're talking about. I found something online. If you just take this ginger and you take this and you do this, So we are just at a place now we're so self-sufficient. And it's hard for us to be humble and to even see we need other people. That is the challenge of the society we live in. And you know, you can put up my next slide. When you look at the history of man, it's very interesting. Man has always wanted times of peace. Man has always tried to create a utopia. Man has always tried to figure it out. How can we live and make sense of this life? And the question is, on our own, can we make it work? Are we civil enough? Are we sophisticated enough? You know, can we create an ideal life? We have the technology. We have the finances. We have the ingenuity. We are so amazing. Can we make this life work without God? But you know, that's how many of us live. Our marriages, do we really need God to have a healthy marriage? Can you be an atheist and have a healthy marriage? Do we really need God to have a healthy family? A productive family? An intact family? You know, it's so interesting. I think what happens is people don't understand if you want success in your life, you got to have godly principles. There are a lot of people, I don't believe in God, but you believe in love. God is love. You know, any two people, any man and woman that get married can have a great marriage, whether they go to church or not, if they will treat each other right. That was the message of Jesus. So if we take time out to trace it all back, it's not that complicated. We really do need a semblance of God. Now, the challenge is, do we want to give God the credit for it? But this is not anything new. Here we are. It's 2018. We always wrestle with this thing that we are the most amazing, incredible people that's ever existed on the planet. That, you know, we do so much. We accomplish so much. A little stat for you. In the Western world, they have only been, I'm talking about with the European influence on the continent of Europe, they've only experienced 100 years of peace where there was no war. They weren't fighting each other. Now, they were terrorizing other people, but on their continent, they were at peace for 100 years. And their mindset developed, we have found the solution that we have arrived as it was an era of good feelings. Because of our intellect, we are a perfect society. And right after that, there was World War I. And the whole continent was thrown into chaos. And guess how many people died in World War I? You can put up that next slide. You had, it's not up there yet, but 37 million people died when we were supposedly at our best. 37 million people died. But even going beyond history, European history, let's go back to the first family. Adam and Eve and their boys. The first family. Anybody heard of Cain and Abel? The first family. They were all the same nationality. There was no racism. It was just two guys hanging out, and the brother killed the other brother. What is it about us as people that we can't get along? And, you know, the Bible talks about that. But let's look over in Romans chapter 1. You all still with me out there? Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this. In Romans chapter 1, and this is the Apostle Paul writing here. And Paul was an intellectual. He was trained. He was a philosopher. So he wasn't the type of preacher that just said you need to be faithful and believe. He said, let's be rational about this. Let's look at the social, the psychological condition of man. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of their immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desire of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. So let's just walk back through our track record as people. How have we done with one another? And this is what Paul was pointing out. In verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received themselves the due penalty for their error. Okay, so now our society is fascinated with the concept of gender and same-sex attraction. It's not new. This was the same conversation Paul had a couple of thousand years ago. But, you know, in our wisdom, we found something that no other culture has thought about. Paul was addressing the human heart. In verse 28, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so they do what should be done. They are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Does any of this sound like new that you never heard before? Is this how we're living? And, you know, I don't want us to be self-righteous. Each and every one of us can look down this list and find something that we're struggling with. Find something that makes us messed up, broken people. Envy, strife, arrogance, boastful. It says, invent ways of doing evil. The things that we can think of. Who thinks about getting an automatic weapon and mowing down a bunch of people while they're at a concert? Who thinks about that? Who thinks about carjacking a car with two little babies in it, two little children, taking the car, realizing children are in the car, and leaving the kids on the side of the road? In the cold. Grown men leaving babies on the side of the road, and the cars got to swerve not to hit the children. And we want to defend ourselves. And we want to say how good we're doing. I pose to you a question again. Do we need God? I need God in my life. I couldn't be who I am without God, without his word. Now, you know, it's so interesting because we are so filled with skepticism. And we are so filled with doubt. And we want to question, does the Bible really make sense? Does it really, is it accurate? You know, man has wrote it. There have been so many changes. Things have been left out. And we're just going on and on with these questionings. And we live in a very unchurched culture. When Shamir shared his life, that was New York City. Shamir was a product of New York City. When we were up there studying the Bible with people were unchurched. There are people who had never really gone to church, didn't know anything about the Bible. And we always had to talk about life, common sense values, because people were so unchurched. At one point in time in our culture, especially African Americans and minorities, you got a lot of teaching from church. And there were things you're supposed to do and not to do. But you know, as a people, we're really unchurched. There was a point in time in the culture, there were elders, there were older people who gave advice. These days, we don't listen to anybody's advice. And then the ones who held it down for generation from generation to generation was grandma. You went to grandma's house, you're going to pray before you eat your food. You're not going to cuss around grandma, because grandma ain't playing that. And you getting up out that bed on Sunday morning and you going to church. Now, grandma got a weave, grandma drinking, grandma smoking, grandma looking for a man. Grandma ain't got time to be the matriarch of the family. And grandma said, don't bring them children around me. I got things to do. So whenever there's a void of leadership, there's always leadership. Wherever there's a void, there's always leadership. Somebody is setting the tone. Somebody is saying what culture should be like. And what we do as Americans, we elevate and idolize. If somebody can throw a football, they become an idol. We give them this big platform, and whatever they say, whatever they think, if they can rap, which is these days very few good ones left, we just give them a platform. If they can sing, we give them a platform. And we have allowed comedians to become the voice of reason and intellect in our communities. And whatever they say, we listen to them, and we have thrown the Bible out. You just don't trust the Bible anymore. So what do you do in a society that people are having a hard time? Like I said, it was New York City, but I think that mindset has permeated throughout the country. I have run into more Southerners who are unchurched. As I sit down and study the Bible with my friend Tyler, we have to start at the book of Genesis. We can't even get to the New Testament. We're in Genesis. Now we're moving on to Exodus. We're going back to the basics of, man, do you know who God is? The God of the Bible. There was an assumption at one point in time because people went to Sunday school. They had heard about Noah. They had heard about Moses. They had heard about miracles. They had heard about the basics. People just don't know anymore. So consequently, people are throwing it all out. You know, I was at, we were studying at a restaurant. This is it. You know, we were there. It was good, too. That was it. We're studying, so I'm on the line there. You know, it's cafeteria style. I'm getting my food. See this brother in front of me, you know, and, you know, he's got his dreads, and we're just talking, and, you know, I just do the Christian thing, invite him to church. He said, man, I graduated from a Christian college. He said, but, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't do the church thing. I said, really? He said, yeah, I don't do the church thing. I said, why? Well, first of all, they couldn't answer my questions. I said, okay. Yeah, no white folks couldn't answer my questions. I said, okay. Well, this is what I figured out about life. It doesn't make sense to ask questions if you don't want to know the answer. Because sometimes in life, we ask a lot of questions, but we really don't want to know the answers. And she may just, he just said that. You know, we really don't want to know the answer. We just want to debate. We want to argue. We want to go back and forth. Well, you said this, but so-and-so said this. Well, you believe this, but I believe, because we're in an era of popular opinions. Well, you know, let's sit down and let's exchange ideas. First of all, let's look at God's ideas. Now, I'm not even talking to you about what I think, I feel, I believe, what works for me. I'm going to take it back to the Bible. I'm going to take it back to God's word. And the question is, how confident are we, brothers and sisters, in God's word? Or do we feel as though people don't want to hear it? Let me tell you this. The word of God is powerful. And if a heart is searching, they will respond. They will respond. But what we got to do, we as men and women who say we love God, we can't ever back down or apologize for our conviction about loving God. What's my next slide? Getting to know God. I hear this quite a bit. And I found this quote, and I said, you know what? I'm going to put this up and share it. It does not require great learning to be a Christian and to be convinced of the truth of the Bible. It requires only an honest heart and a willingness to obey God. An honest heart. You know what that honest heart is? I need God. I need help with my marriage. I need help with my temper. I struggle with lust. I struggle with anger. I struggle with bitterness. I have tried every self-help book they got out there. I have listened to Oprah, and I went and bought The Secret. Have y'all heard of The Secret? It didn't work for me. Did it work for you? I'm trying. And, you know, we go to everything. You go to everything, and we're trying to figure this out. Are we ready to give God a try? Well, I need to know more. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge. I love knowledge. But, again, I want to pose to you, what you going to do with the knowledge? What you going to do? How many times are we going to have to be convinced as we sit down and read the Bible that we need help? Romans 3:23, it says what? All, a few, all have sinned. So as we sit down and we read the Bible and try to be rational with our friends, we got to help them understand it's nothing personal. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, because I need this too. I don't want us to come from a place of, I got this all figured out. And did it. No, I need this too. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And how many sins does it take to be counted out of the race? We blow it one time. Oh, we're lost. Jeez. I was doing so, you ever had a, you're just doing good, you had a day you're doing good, and that one thing happens? Just, it's, man, it could just be one random thing, and oh my goodness, you know, sometimes we get discouraged about that, but the Bible says all have sinned and fall short. So guess what God did? In God's wisdom, he provided a contingency plan. God's wisdom, he provided a way out. And that's why it's really good. And for some of us who've been hanging around the church for a while, I'm glad to hear, but maybe you got to get to know God on a deeper level. You got to get to know the God of the Bible, get to know the character of God, the essence of God. We can't allow people to be the barometer of God. We cannot even allow the church to be. I know about God because of the church, because the church is made up of people. We can't say, well, Christianity doesn't work, because look at all of these Christians throughout the ages who've done all these atrocities. And, you know, my friend brought that up studying the Bible. He said, well, you know, he calls me professor. When you look at it, The Bible don't work. Look how people have lived. Okay. I say, you are a photographer, right? I say, yeah. I say, you're a photographer. You love taking pictures. You're really good at what you do. And guess what? I bought you a camera so you can be a better photographer. Now, I give you that camera, and you go outside, and you throw it on the ground, and you smash the lens. Is it my fault? I gave you the tool. You didn't handle it correctly. So why are you upset with me? Why would you go tell your friends, he don't know what he's doing? You broke the camera. You messed it up. I say, God has given us so many tools, we mess it up. And guess who gets the blame? It's God's fault. God's the problem. God messed it up. And God, I guess God is in heaven looking at us like, I gave you what you needed. I gave it to you. And you didn't use it properly. That was a good one with the camera. He was like, oh, I got that. Why am I saying that? Because, you know, there comes a point in time we just got to have common sense conversations. Common sense conversation. What's the next slide? Do our doubts and skepticisms about God prevent us from seeking him? Our doubts about the Bible. Our skepticisms. Yeah, he go talking about that Old Testament stuff. That stuff wasn't real. Yeah, a man in an ark. A man in a boat for 40 days. And, you know, we make jokes about it. Heard a comedian on the radio the other day. He said, you know how you know Noah wasn't a black man? Because chickens came off the ark. Oh, we love chicken. You don't have to get all sophisticated. Well, I put a platter of fried chicken out there, we would kill each other trying to get to it. But you know what happens is, we take spiritual things and we make it into jokes. And we try to say, is it rational? Is it logical? And, you know, that's what society has done. So as we start talking about what God put in his word, we're like, oh, that's absurd. That could never happen. And we just go on and undermine the Bible. Okay, but God gave us something. This is what he told his people back centuries ago. He says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him with all your heart, and if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is a promise that God made to his people. And if you are here today visiting and you're trying to figure out whether or not this Christianity thing is for you, I want you to remember what Shamir said. That brother said, God, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. Just show yourself to me. And you know what? I think we need to do that. Because some of us, we're trying to figure out this Christianity thing, and now we got to make it a supernatural thing. We got to make this a divine appointment with God. And if you are trying to decide whether or not you want to be a Christian, why don't you ask God to help you out? God, give me a sign, make it clear that you are real and that you have a plan for my life. And I tell you this, you do that, God will reveal himself to you. Especially for those of us who are sincere. And I think if you're getting up on a Sunday morning trying to figure this thing out, there's some sincerity in there. But let's take it a step further. I don't want us to get stuck at the church. This is about a God encounter. We all need a God encounter. Have you had your God encounter where you know it was nobody but God? Wasn't the church people. I love them. Wasn't my family. I love them. Wasn't my friends. It was God. See, because when we have God encounters, we're able to stand up here and say, I've been faithful 22 years. We're able to say, you know what? I'm a married man now. And I love my wife and children. And no matter what the world says, this is how I'm going to live my life. See, I'm not talking about church encounters. And praise God for the fellowship. Now, we're going to take this back to the root, to the source, to God. What's the next slide? How does God respond when we seek him? I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drives. I am concerned about their suffering. The God of the Bible, the God that most people don't know or who haven't heard of, they hear about the God of wrath. Oh, God struck them down. God sent plagues. God did this. And God gets this negative mindset. Oh, God, if you don't obey, he'll punish you. They were in Israel. I mean, they were in Egypt. They were struggling. They were slaves. And they were praying to God. And what did God say? I have indeed seen. God say, I see. I hear. I'm concerned. That's the God we serve. God sees where we are. He hears the struggles, the frustrations, the anxieties, the challenges. He says, I'm concerned. The God of the Bible is concerned about his people. And that's what the story of Moses is all about. I think we get, well, hold up. He divided a Red Sea? How can you? And you know, they had the story, the movie, they redid it not too long ago, and it looked like they were walking on coral or something, you know. It's like, it wasn't completely dry. You know, Hollywood has a way of saying, we're going to put it out there, but we're not going to make it a miracle or exceptional. We're going to have to make it scientific. Now, when it comes to Marvel movies, it's a miracle. Who you see flying around with a hammer? A man flying around with a hammer? A woman that's been alive since 1914? Fighting tanks and throwing men across the room? Oh, we could embrace that. Oh, Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Thor. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. God split the Red Sea? No, 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 no. It's humanism. We celebrate what we think we can do. Especially if that person is in the image of us. So what we have done with our heroes, we have taken all of our quote-unquote heroes and we elevate the ones who are lying, stealing, cussing, immoral. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a hero. See, because they're transparent. They're authentic. I can relate to them. But with God, he's not like us. He's God. And we have a hard time because with God, it's not about relating, it's about submitting. He is God, and I am not. We have a hard time with that. I always use movies and cultural references because I think sometimes we can understand better. You know, right now, anybody into DC comics and the DC movies? I agree with you. They're pitiful right now. But you... But you know, one of the reasons they're struggling so much because the flagship character, they don't know what to do with him. The number one character, Superman, they don't know what to do with him. Because at one point in time in the 1940s, when he came about, or the 30s, he was Superman. He was invincible. He was leading the way in morality. He could kill, but he chose to save. And he was to set the tone for humanity. Basically, he was a Jesus-like character. But in 2018, Superman has no weaknesses. So he's losing popularity because people are like, we can't relate to Superman. That's the point. You weren't supposed to relate to him. You're supposed to aspire to be like him. So now what we're doing with Superman, he's got this affair with Lois Lane. He's debating whether or not he's going to kill people. I mean, he got all this. And I'm like, that's just humanity. That's where we are. And you know what? We have a hard time with Jesus. So now we want to see the weaknesses of Jesus. He had no weaknesses. He had no struggles. He was perfect. But we have a hard time with that because we don't want to accept the concept of someone being perfect. Because we know we could never be perfect. We are more secure with our gods that are like us. Anybody understand what I'm saying there? So when we read the Bible, what's the next? Say, Jesus. When Jesus came down, he said, he looked at us. He said, wow, they're like sheep without shepherd. They're just wandering around. Hey, compassion. Okay, so that as I wrap it up here, what do we know about God? He sees, he hears, he's concerned, he sent his son down, his son had compassion. Now, what about those attributes do you find distasteful? What is so bad about trying to love, get to know a God who sees, who hears, who's concerned, and who has compassion? And that's what I'm saying. We got to get to know the God and the Jesus of the Bible. And the more we get to know that God and that Jesus of the Bible, I believe that we can have a level of humility towards God and a level of gratitude that he even wants to have a relationship with us. Amen. That he initiated that relationship. You know, right now we're getting ready to witness a couple of baptisms. Because there are guys today, two men today who have decided they want to make Jesus Lord of their lives. They have wrestled through the scriptures. They have studied it out. And they said, you know what? I'm sending out my SOS. I'm sending it out. I'm saying, I want help. And when we send out that SOS, we're saying, God, I need your help. And, you know, one of the ways you send out an SOS is in the waters of baptism. Well, you say, I can't do it on my own. I can't be good enough. I can't be nice enough. I can't repent enough. I can't come to church enough. I can't do all these outward things to be a Christian. I need God. Baptism is about surrender. Baptism is about submission. And it's exciting today to know we got two men here who want to submit and surrender. As you watch these baptisms, first of all, I want us to be reminded, for those of us who are Christians, what we did, why we did it. Because sometimes when you see a baptism, it's a reminder of why we did what we did. And for those of us who are wrestling with whether or not we need God, I want you to see that these gentlemen studied the Bible and came to a conviction of where they are in their journey as they get to know God.